Hey, this interview is Mr. Chidi Baki. Thank you so much for speaking to me.
You're welcome.
So Mr. Baki, if you could please describe the position that you hold here.
Right now I'm the director for HRMIS. That's a directorate within the civil service agency. It covers the automation of the HRM system. And it stretches all across the various ministries and agencies. So wherever there's an HR department within any ministry or agency, there will be HRMIS and software will be placed. We're kind of automating the system. So wherever that system is, I'll be in control of it. And however, under that as well, there is the electronic record keeping, and as well as a biometric system that I run as well to uniquely identify civil servants. So basically that's it.
Okay. Could you say a word about previous jobs that you've held?
Well, before I've held jobs at in the manufacturing company in Ghana, the plastic manufacturing company. I was an IT manager. Within that job, besides IT, I did a lot of things. Accounting, I handled the stock, I oversaw the sales, sales reporting. It was a pretty big manufacturing company with almost 150 big, huge plastic machines. Mm-hmm. And I handled all the raw material ordering and planning and usage of the raw materials, connecting it with all the products that were made and advertising.
So the whole business,
I was
pretty
in
much.
HR system as well. I pretty much stretched across the entire organization of that that manufacturing company. It's a group of manufacturing companies. I was just one of them, and I was the IT head for all the manufacturing companies in that group. Prior to that, I was an IT head administrator at a company that was a wholesaler also in Ghana. They were manufacturer representatives, and they were wholesalers as well for MEM products, Goodyear tires, and all this kind of thing. And before that, I worked with the government of Liberia. I was kind of 19 or so years old, 19, 20 years old, and I worked with the government of Liberia in the electronic data processing department of the Ministry of Finance. That was just before the war. I left because of the war. In that place, I was a junior analyst. There was a system there that was created by, I think, a Canadian group, did the payroll system, and they had it in a language called COBOL. And we were just two in the entire ministry that had the knowledge of COBOL. And we were the one that could program that system, you know, change tax tables, introduce new tax deductions and all of that, run the payroll as well. And that was basically what I was doing over there. And prior to that, I worked in the university that I attended. I was the head of the system administrator and head of the IT lab. And I head of the network that we had, and basically that's it.
Well, which university was
it? It's called it's now a university, but it was a college at that time. It's called African American Episcopal Zion Community College.
Okay.
AME Zion Community College.
And that's here in Liberia.
That's here in Liberia. Now it's AME Zion University.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's basically.
So when did you take over this position?
I started with the CSA in 2008. My original, in fact, the title that I'm being paid for is the Information and Record Management Specialist under the SES program. That's the Senior Executive Service, where specialists, people who have done well in their field or have gone so far in their field, are brought into the civil service to try and as part of the reform process, to try and introduce within their area, you know, if it comes to IT, cutting edge technology, IT, for me, I was there, I came in to help redesign the information records management part of the civil service agency, being paid by the through the UNDP, and we have about 100 SES personnel within the all over the government, and I'm one of them. That's what I'm being paid for. Okay. But as well, when I got in, I was also after a couple of months, 5 or 6 months, I was given the title as director for records and research and biometric identification. Okay, but the civil service went through a reform period. We did our management function reviews. We did our reform, the entire reform stuff, and then new positions were drawn up for the new structure, and moving into the new structure, I was elevated into the director for HRMIS. Yes, previously the director in the old one is now an assistant director in the new one. All director positions are now assistant director positions. All principal heads or principal directors are now directors. So that's how the new structure is right now. Yeah. Okay.
And so what was on the agenda? What was on your agenda when you took over this position?
Well, on my agenda, I came in to set the information and records management policies of the civil service agency. I came to make sure there was the direction for, we had a direction for automating the HR systems and HR management system at the civil service agency. So that was my primary task.
Was the biometric ID card program already in development?
Well, it was. They had the original when I came. They had already started the biometric program because they had acquired. They had a consultant. They had acquired who had gone through the who had conducted a bidding process for a supplier to bring in biometric equipment. So, you know, all of that I was in charge of overseeing when I came. So as soon as I got there, that's when we got the biometric center. It was taken over, and the supplier for the biometric equipment and the software, he also came in, and I started dealing with the biometric supplier and set it up basically with the supplier. And that's what I came to meet. So what happened with the original intention was to take whatever is on the government, like their payroll, those names, and go and use the biometric software to get people to find out whether there were duplicates in there. But when I came in, I kind of, together with our World Bank colleagues, we kind of agreed that it's better to build the employee files first, and the biometric be at the last end of that chain. So we had to redesign our plan, and from then on, we decided to put in all our efforts to build the employee files first, because there was nothing. During the war, we lost everything. So there was nothing at the civil service agency. They had old roster files from the 80s and 70s, and which were not representative of what the civil service was at that time, which was 2 years ago. Everything was relied upon from listings that were coming from the ministries and agencies. And those listings, we didn't know the accuracy of those listings. And the rest was from the Ministry of Finance. And on the Ministry of Finance database, you could find that there were just few pieces of information on an employee, you know, last name, first name, not even the date of birth, you know, last name, first name, where you worked, and your job title, and then, you know, information on your pay. So we decided to build up the entire dossier for an employee, personnel, academic history, professional history in government, other places in government, in your current place of work, other places in government as well as outside of government, and getting track of your dependents, backing all that up with whatever information was put there, having supporting documents to back up your claim that you are who you say you are, because a lot of people were impersonating and all of that. So that's why we have vetting processes and all of that, where people are able to bring in all their supporting documents, fill in the information, and we vetted, we cross-checked the information before going into biometric enrollment, fingerprint enrollment. We have two types of layers in there, which is the facial recognition and then fingerprinting, all 10 fingers.
So how do you verify the information?
Well, let me take you all the way down the chain.
Okay.
First of all, our exercise, our methodology was to, we sent three colored forms, set of forms out to the HR head. HR head sends it down to the employee, through the supervisors down to the employee. Employee fills up all three with photos on all three. At the back of the photo, they sign and put their name on that. Fill up the entire form on identically, all three. There's the blue forms, the green form, and the black form. All those, then his supervisor signs to say, yeah, I know this guy. And he signs his form as well, saying all this information on this form, I am aware of it, and it's true. So that filters back up to the HR head. HR head takes a look at it and say, okay, supervisor have signed, this person have signed. And next thing is that we have a vetting officer assigned, liaison and vetting officer assigned to that ministry, vetted.
Is this someone in the ministry or someone at CSA?
We assign at that particular time when we're having that, we have assigned people at those ministries to be there for the vetting process.
Okay.
And that also comes, the one form remains, is sent back down to the employee, the black form. The blue form, the green form remains with the ministry. The blue form comes to us.
Okay.
We use that. We vet it once more. We use that to enter. If we are satisfied, we enter data. And at a certain point in time, we call them, the employees, in with the black form and cross-check that. And when we are sure that those two forms match, the black and the blue that we have on hand, we biometrically enroll them. And the black form, we take it from them and we have it. So what happens is that the green form that gets left at the ministry agency becomes automatically, the ministry agency has a HR system, manual system with all forms in there. So in the apps before, they did not have this. So at now, they, at least they have forms there for each employee, which is a complete employee form, a file, even though it's manual. The black, we have it as a backup. We at the biometric center, we keep the blue. The black, we're going to send all that to the CSA headquarters. So we have a set of forms, identical forms at the CSA headquarters. So, you know, so in case anything happens at the biometric center, we still have the same identical forms at the CSA headquarters. And we enter this information into the computer, scan all the supporting documents, enroll the fingerprints, cross, if it's any duplicates in the system, we're alerted to it. That case, we open case files for them, and then we pursue those cases and let the proper authorities take them, take the actions, appropriate actions on that.
Mm-hmm. When you say they would come in with the black forms and you would compare them,
yeah.
They'll come to the central office
they
here?
They come to the biometric center with their black form.
All the civil servants?
Yeah, we had schedules for them to come in.
Even from the counties?
The counties is what we broke up our implementation into a couple of phases.
Okay.
In fact, it's two major phases. One is in Monrovia. We had a pilot phase, which we just did a few ministries and agencies, small ones that did not have people outside of Monrovia, maybe one or two persons outside of Monrovia, but 99 to 100% population in Monrovia for that ministry agency, mm-hmm. employee population. And we had the Monrovia phase where we collected people's information from Monrovia. Now we have the outstation phase, which is all counties besides Monserrato County or everywhere outside of Monrovia City. So that's where we have three teams that have gone out. They have about 36 people, 12 each in each team. They have gone out to, each team is going to tackle four counties. Prior to that, we had two other counties that we did a little pilot with them, so they're not going to handle that until we do a mop-up. but mainly they're going out for four counties each. That's about 12 counties, and they're going for 45 days. They'll go in there and do all the vetting, form filling, enrollment, biometric enrollment, and come back into Monrovia, and then we do our final analysis and enter data, take actions, and that's it.
So they'll be spending about 15 days per county in a county?
Yes. No, they have gone simultaneously. They've gone simultaneously into the four counties each, you know. So I would not, one team goes, has four counties, they spend a couple of days in each county until the full county is completed, plus a little mop-up time. But what happens is that there are some counties that have a little bit larger population of employees than others, so they will take 2 weeks. Smaller counties, it will take 1 week. So it's set up like that.
Okay.
And then they come back in. Now, all of this is being done so that we clean up the database. We have a database with clean information. We opted into the new IFMIS, which is the Integrated Financial Management Information System. Together with the Ministry of Finance, we work together on that. We have the Civil Service Management module in that system, and that's where we are going to take this information. That's the process we started last week. We are now starting our migration process. All that clean information that we have is going to be put into the Civil Service Management system. Then that will be an integrated system that, as any ministry or agency comes on board, they are able to use the employee self-service parts of the Civil Service Management system. HR heads can also use the to start HR processes or have their say in appraisals, work the appraisal systems and all of that.
Could we maybe go back a bit to 2008, to the change in strategy, rather than issuing biometric ID cards at the beginning to the end of the process?
Yeah, basically when you know, taking a look at it, just having taking people's biometric data, and then for a one-time shot, you know, where it's like taking a picture of what the population is in at one time with no other plans on how to maintain that information, then the Ministry of Finance was going to continue doing what they do to maintain that information. So we said, hey, this is not how it should be. We should build a proper employee file and have a system that we can maintain, or we can even carry on a little bit of the HR management lifecycle process using a software.
So at the time, what exactly did the Ministry of Finance want to do? They wanted to create a system with the information they already had?
The Ministry of Finance, they just wanted to continue maintaining their payroll. Whoever is going to be added to the payroll, they do the adding.
Okay.
Whoever is going to be removed, they do the removing. Who's going to be raised up and down? And because of that, in a system like that, you can have so many leakages. Fraud can come into that kind of system because we are the HR arm of government. We don't control it. Things can happen in that system that, you know, could be outside of our knowledge. So the problem is we wanted to have control, as we are mandated to have control. So the first step was to build the files and then introduce an HR, integrated HR MIS system and payroll system, that we have a single database that we are sharing. We are the gatekeepers. We allow people in, we move people around, and we take people out. All they do is to carry on their deductions, print checks, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. So initially, the biometric ID cards were going to be issued to whoever was already on the payroll?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, what will happen is that after we clean a particular ministry, we do all the vetting, everything, we call it clean.
Okay.
And we declare it clean, and that's when we print the ID cards and distribute the ID cards.
So how many ministries are clean at
this
point?
Well, about 11 so far.
Okay.
My team has gone out into the, as I said, into the outstations. So I'm a little bit, I don't have enough staff to continue the cleaning for the 45 days. As soon as they come back, that exercise will continue. So the 11 will grow to the rest of the ministries that we have.
What's your target date to have all the ministries cleaned?
March 31st,
okay.
2011.
So then have you started dispensing the cards themselves?
Yes, the first 11 ministries, we dispensed their cards already.
Okay.
They have their cards, and we'll do it in phases, batches. As soon as those guys come back, we're going to have continue our vetting and data entry and all these things, and then we're going to clean the information for the new ministries that we have not done, and then once we're satisfied, we'll print the biometric ID cards.
And so the Dr. Allen has stated that by July,
by March we should finish cleaning the information. By July,
the cards should be
first of July. The cards will be printed by March. Should be printed. Everybody should have a card by March. July is when we have migrated to the civil service management system module of IFMIS. We should have. We should be part of the integrated system. We should be part of the common network that we're putting together. In fact, interestingly, this entire trying to get hold of the control of the payroll of the HR system for Liberia, automating it, this has brought in a new dimension. What happened is that in the beginning, IFMIS was a software that was going to take care of the financial all the financial parts of what's going on, administrative finance. And we were going to have our own HRMIS. But then we decided that we will come together. Okay, I had a very good, and there's a very good IT person there as well. We had, we together with the World Bank, we shared a common vision on this. So we decided, okay, there's no need to have two databases. Let's have one database. So coming together, we had to have a platform, the place that can be shared, that we can use the system to share the software. So that's when we decided to have a little network. And that grew a little bit because they said, okay, we have a financial management system, we have the HRMIS system. We, in order to track expenditures and revenue, central bank has to be involved. GAC, which is the auditing commission, has to be a part of that because they want to have access to the financial management HR system, whatever, so that they can carry on their audits in a better manner than they are. Like it's sometimes they wake up one a year or so before they go, at least they can be able to have audits, that is more efficient than what is going on now because everything will be automated. So then we decided to also, GSA was interested, which is a general service agency. It's like the asset management arm of government. And on the revenue side, you had customs, which is part of the Ministry of Finance. They got interested in that as well because they were interested in this common platform because one of our options for redundancy was putting in a WiMAX option. And that WiMAX solution was going to stretch all the way to the border between Sierra Leone and Liberia, which is a revenue point. The RIA, Roberts International Airport, which is our international airport. And the only problem is up between Cote d'Ivoire, Guinea, and Liberia, which we are not stretching there yet, but we do have plans. So these people opted in. So. Now, our little network between two ministries has now turned into a national network for government, for intergovernment system integration. So that became, we decided that, okay, now if we have this network, we have to get UPSs, better power generators, power coming in there. We have, if it's going to be a common infrastructure. So we decided, okay, we have the LibTelco, which is the Liberian Telecommunications Corporation, and they had a little data center there, fully equipped. And we decided, okay, hey, if these guys have 24 hours electricity, they have UPSs, power backup, because they're running their own phone network system, mobile phone, I think CDMA. So we said, hey, let's get in, let's see if we can hitch a ride on that. So we discussed with them and they were happy for us to come on board because they also had planned to have a fiber optic connectivity around the in the first phase to have a fiber optic connectivity between some customers that they can muster. Second phase was around Monrovia. Third phase was the whole of Liberia, and to get a an internet subsea cable to come into Liberia to have high speed internet. So in fact, our funding was able to, at least we came as the first customers, the CSA, Civil Service Agency, Mutual Finance.
You helped their company grow.
Yeah, so we came as the first customer and we struck a deal and we say, okay, we're here, we can provide, we're your first customers for your first phase. And because of that, that kicked off and they were able to get funding for their second phase and have the ACE cable come into Liberia. And we have our national, first it was just a data center, but now we're going to call it a national data center because all the ministries and agencies will eventually plug into that. And that's how far we've grown with that. We're just to the need to have a payroll and a HRMIS system to have a single database where we are the gatekeeper. And that grew, now has grown into a national data network for the for government systems.
So when did the idea come about to create the single database?
Well,
the single network.
Yeah, what happened is that when we built, when we decided that, we decided that the HRMIS that we there was a funding available for getting HRMIS, and you know, we said, okay. You know, I was thinking, there's no, how can we have a system separate, and we have a database that we have to synchronize manually with those guys. Every time something passed through us, we have to ensure that it's the same thing reflected over there. It's pretty much going to be the same thing happening, you know. So
was this your recommendation or suggestion?
Yes, it was. It was my recommendation. Together with the, we had sessions with the World Bank, our World Bank technical team, and when they came in, we had a common discussions on that, because the we had fundings for separately for an HRMIS solution, and they were trying to they had this IFMIS solution which. They wish that ministries and agencies could also use the IFMIS solution as well, because it's a financial management. So if you're in your ministry, you can once you have access, you can use the financial module also. But the main thing was, the primary thing at that time was having a single database where we can control the civil servant or employees on government payroll. That was the primary issue, and it from there, that's how we grew into this integration and this network that we're building.
So how do you view that? Because the Ministry of Finance, I guess before this program, had more control in a sense over the civil servants.
Yeah. I would say in terms of the payroll, they had more control. They added people. They were able to add people onto the payroll. It should have been from our orders, but.
I don't know.
You know, in a system like that, there's a whole lot of room for people adding people onto the payroll without our consent as civil service agencies. So that was something that we had to look into and make sure that stops. And that was the solution that we came to, that we should have a single database.
Has there been any resistance from the Ministry of Finance about sort of centralizing this authority in the Civil Service Agency?
No, there was no resistance. I think the only thing was getting the political heads to try to understand, because this is we are trying to use cutting edge technology. The idea of this is coming out of the war. Most people have not heard of seeing something like this. So convincing people that this is not a huge monster that we're trying to create. But this is something that it will work into our benefit, and if we have systems that are integrated, we don't have to. You will not have a problem with reconciliations and all these things, having manual inputs from one end, one output from one system, manually being inputted into another system. These things will work seamlessly. So it took some time to convince them. It took some time for them to really see the benefits of where we're going to. Not that much of a time. I would say a couple of months. And then, you know, one or two big guys start to come in. From the get-go, you had one or two people who were, like, for example, Dr. Allen of the Civil Service Agency. That he's the deputy, he's the director general, the head. He was on board from the get-go. And from there, we were able to get people on board. And now it's such an elaborate plan that we have. And it's not just planning for something big, but you have people in every area of the planning and the implementation. You have people working and results are being seen. Mm. And I think people are seeing it from inside the country and outside of the country. Our partners are seeing it, and people are now trying to show up to our doorsteps and see what they can do to help. Probably I can take you one of these days to show you around to the mini data center at Ministry of Finance, our infrastructure that in the building at CSA headquarters, at the annex that we're building, the National Data Center, the backup disaster recovery site further down on 18th Street. And you'll be able to see how far we've come.
Maybe one last question before we pause, because you need to get going. IFMIS has been attempted in other countries, as I understand, and their biometric ID cards programs. And has it been merged in other countries, as you've done here?
Well, I don't know much. I know that we started, I know when we started, we heard that Ghana had started something, but it fell through. It didn't work. And that was a national biometric identification system. I think a civil service biometric was attempted, but I don't know how far. I don't think that went through. But I know that the same team, our World Bank team, a technical team that were advising us, they have done something, I think in Botswana. They have started something in Botswana, Zimbabwe, one of those countries. And then in Gambia, they just started something in Gambia, I think. So it's two countries I know that, because they are all our methodology, our project charter, and all these project components, you know, they were able to at least, it was just right for the African environment. And I think they are now also trying to roll these things out in other places, helping other people who want to have what we're doing. Hmm. So,
do you know why the attempts, the initiatives in Ghana?
I think mostly these things are kind of political. When they reach a certain point, then it gets stuck because of the lack of political will. Sometimes when there's change in government, probably have one government say, okay, all these things were ordered and you had all this plan. It was just another way of getting rich of something, of this project or something like that. There's some suspicion somewhere sometimes, so... I think that was scrapped in Ghana. I heard they had a whole lot of cars and equipment that they bought, and they opened a little bit of investigation to find out what was going on in that project, and they just hung in limbo because of that.
Mm-hmm. So here, but so those few months where you got the political support,
that was key. Everybody is on board. You know, it's amazing. You have top to bottom. You know, the thing about us is that in our government, you know, we are. I would not want to pat ourselves on our back, but we have the vision to move this country as fast as possible and project it into, you know, something and catch up with what we lost and then go further than that. So you don't find too many people throwing too many roadblocks in your way. You know, once you get to convince them that, okay, hey, this is the benefits, this is what's going to happen. People, everybody's mind is open. And it doesn't take much to take it from there.
Hmm. Yeah. Was Dr. Allen's support, political support, was that key in
getting the ball moving? It was key, Dr. Allen. From the get-go, he was a key component of this. Reforms and, you know, all these new age technology introduction and integration of systems. And Dr. Allen is all for it. You know, once you brief him on what you want to do, show him your plans, He's very quick to see the benefits of what. He's very quick also to come back to you and tell you what you're doing wrong or right and how it should be done. So he's been a great help.
Did he help you get the Ministry of Finance on board?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. He's on the, I think he's on the steering committee team of the IFMIS too, if I'm not mistaken. So he has some weight in there. So he's an integral part of most of what we're doing.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Bucky.